Thank you for coming out tonight. Appreciate the invitation to come and hold a gospel meeting with y'all. I'm sorry that it took Harry getting sick for me to come, but no, I've been here. Someone said I was back here in 2008. You may not remember that, but one night when I was holding that meeting, it was during election year, and it was the second term of Obama. And now look where we're at. So, it's kind of interesting, don't you think? Time passes. Things change. I know that the church right now is struggling all over the world with the COVID-19 virus. Brethren are splitting over, and I call them anti-vaxxers, and people are pro-vaxxers, or they're anti-mask, or they're pro-mask. I mean, brethren, that's what we're going to talk about when we talk about spiritual cannibalism tomorrow night. Because we need to find and see for ourselves that we're to love each other. And we're to do what we can because Jesus died for his church and we are the children of God. And we have some things we need to set in order to get through these times. The lesson has been announced. By faith, Noah condemned the world. I know that's not all of Hebrews 11, verse 7. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But I just want to draw your attention to something about Noah. That you may probably understood this, but Noah, how did he condemn the world? Well, let's look at it. How did Noah condemn the world? Was it by building the ark? Is that how he condemned the world because he built the ark? That's not the reason. That's not the reason. That's not why his faith condemned the world, because he built the ark and obeyed God, followed the pattern that God set forth in Genesis 6 through 8 chapters. But look at Hebrews 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is according to faith. Somebody says, okay, well, I've read that many times. But my question to you tonight, did Noah shut the door? Did Noah shut the door? By faith, Noah condemned the world. But did Noah shut the door? Well, let's see. In fact, by building the ark according to God's pattern, there was a door created for the lost to enter in by if they chose to get in. They could have gotten into the ark. We know this is true because in Genesis 6 and verse 17, so those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, that is Noah, and the Lord shut him in. God shut the door. Yes, little children in Bible class, who shut the door? God shut the door. So I'm still asking, how did Noah condemn the world? By faith. By faith, how did he condemn the world? Well, let's continue. Noah did not shut the door. I know I'm seeing a little elementary here, but I just want you to follow with me here and understand that Noah did not shut the door, and that's not why his faith condemned the world. Noah did not close the door on the ark. He was not responsible for all those who refused to get into the ark. They drowned because they did not respond to Noah's invitation to get into the ark. In fact, in 2 Peter 2 and verse 5, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. Can you see that Noah was a preacher? He preached the truth. What was the message that he preached? Get in the boat. Not a hard lesson. Get in the boat. God is going to destroy this world with water, and every living, breathing thing on this earth will be destroyed. Get in the boat. Get in the ark. Come into the ark. So you see, Noah's faith condemned the world, but not because he kept people out of the ark or even shut the door. No. I want you to look at God's grace for a moment with me, please. In Titus, the second chapter, I always like to go here because I think that people don't really understand from the scriptures what the grace of God really is. If you want a picture of the grace of God, all you have to do is to go to Genesis, the sixth chapter, and see what God said to Noah. That's all you've got to do. Now listen to Titus 2 and verses 11 through 14. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Now, I stop there because do you see that by faith, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved, did something with godly fear, prepared an ark, built an ark for the saving of his household. That's what he did, by which he condemned the world. Because he built an ark to save his household, thereby he condemned the world. No, he condemned it because he built it by faith, brethren. He built it by faith. We are surrounded in a world, in a religious world of error that teaches and holds to tenaciously, there's a word, that one is saved by faith alone. Noah was not saved by faith alone. Noah was forewarned of things not yet seen, and in reverence he moved and built an ark to the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. So what are you doing in your life as a Christian? Aren't you doing the same thing? Oh, people say we condemn them all the time. They say we're judgmental and all this rubbish that goes on. But the truth is, though, we live a life before them that they might see the bright shining light of Jesus, that they might come to a knowledge of the truth and obey the gospel before it's too late. People say, well, I say, can you see the unseen things in God's word? Believing eyes see it. Can you see the unseen things in God's word? If you do, do you understand what it means? And what are you going to do about it? I know that I've told you before about a Russian captain who I met in Lithuania. And he was very strong, very tall, 6'4", probably weighed about 296 pounds. There was not an ounce of fat on that man. He was solid muscle, had 3 black belt degrees, was very deep into Zen Buddhism, also he told me. Very, very strong communist. Oh yeah, well, seems like that makes sense, doesn't it? But then I asked him, would you like to have a Bible study? He held out the Russian Bible. Translator says to him, Mikhail. And Mikhail says, nit. And I said, why not? And then he says something in Russian, and the translator says to me, he says that he doesn't believe in what he cannot see. I was so glad he said that. That's wonderful. So wonderful. I said, did you say he said he doesn't believe in what he cannot see? No. In fact, he doesn't see that he can get anything out of that Bible at all. I said, oh, really? And I said, would you please ask Mikhail if he's ever read the Bible? And so they did. And he said, nit. I said, well, then how do you know that there's nothing in this that would be helpful to you? And he got kind of a wise look in his eyes. He said, okay, I'll come to the Bible study. But now see, it's hard to have a Bible study unless they have a Bible. Wouldn't you agree with that? And don't you see that the thing about it is that when Mikhail did come and I tried to give him a Bible, then he changed his tune about, because he said, I don't believe in what I cannot see. That's what he said. He said it again. And I said, really? He said, Dah, don't believe what I cannot see. And I said, okay. So I took a couple of bobby pins, which happened to be in that flat that we're in, and I held them out and I said, here, take these bobby pins and stick them in that socket over there. It's a 220 socket. Just 2 holes. Stick them in there. And he said, nit. I said, why not? He said, because I'd be killed. I said, killed by what? He said, electricity. I said, really? I don't see an electricity. Do you? Now, the reason I tell that, because I want you to see that the hardest, most seems to be unreachable person on earth can still be reached with the gospel, with the gospel of God. Because they think they know is their downfall. They don't know at all. There's some Christians who think they know, and they don't know at all either. Why is that? Well, knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. He who thinks he knows is not yet known as he ought to know. It's in 1 Corinthians, the 8th chapter. In 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, the 12th verse, let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. Those are warnings from Paul to we as Christians to help us to see. We want to reach the lost, but the lost will not be reached if we don't bring the Bible to them. They can't understand. Well, after the episode of him not wanting to stick the pins into the 220 socket, then he said something in Russian, and the translator said to me, Michael wants you to know that he likes your science. I said, you tell Michael it's not my science. It's the Bible. And he took the Russian Bible. Now, did he read it? I don't know. But you know what? That's all I could do. At least he was willing to look at it and to study it and to read it. And he was a friend of mine from then on. That's just how that works out. But still, though, I try to study with them. So I'm not saying that. That's not because, God has granted me many opportunities to teach the lost, and I'm so thankful for them all. By God's everlasting providence and by the answer of prayer. In fact, your prayers for me have been, I cannot say enough how much I thank you for your prayers. I could not be standing here without your prayers. I believe that with all my heart. Stan knows how this is true. We know that God answers prayers in this world. And if you're praying for people that you're trying to reach with the gospel, talk to them about the gospel. Talk to them about the fact that how are they going to believe something they don't know? How are they going to know how they can do that? How can the faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. So, but if you do understand what it means and what are you doing about it? That's the question. Noah, by faith, Noah being forewarned of God of things not yet seen, in reverence built an ark. Why? Because he saw it. He had never seen it before. No one has seen it before, but he saw it and he started. Half the battle of teaching the lost, my friend, is just starting. Just start. Take them to the Bible. Open the Bible. Don't be ashamed of God's word. And help them to see. In Romans 1, in verse 20, will you turn there with me, please? For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. How many times have I had people who are not Christians tell me stories about looking up into the heavens and seeing all the stars and thinking how small they were in comparison to all the stars? I could tell you a story about seeing the Pacific Ocean for the first time on the shores of Oregon, the Oregon shore, seashore. And I was dwarfed by the thought that as far as I could see for 10,000 miles, there's nothing but water to the shores of Japan. Nothing but water. And you tell me, and you could drown in 4 inches of water, you know that. And the thing about it is that sometimes we are thinking more highly of ourselves than we have to think, because it's got to be some dramatic sermon or something that gets people. No, it's not at all. In fact, the quiet gospel itself, just straight verse on verse, teaches the lost. Teaches the lost. That's what it does. I know that people don't understand this. 2 Corinthians 4, I have to have you turn there in your Bibles. These are some favorite verses of mine. I get to read some of them. I get to read my favorite verses. These are my favorite verses. I think you'll understand why they're my favorite. In the 16th through 18th verses, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceedingly and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, here we go again, unseen things, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Until I could understand this 18th verse, brethren, until I could understand this, I was lost without hope. Because I couldn't see the whole story. I couldn't see what God had done through His Son Jesus, and I didn't understand what Jesus' words really meant until I began to make sacrifices because they were required of me that I might teach others. You're not teaching others if you're not making sacrifices as far as them not being happy with you. So He said, well, you're not supposed to make them angry. No, don't worry. The Bible will make them angry because they have a preconceived notion. And that's the problem. You're trying to get beyond the preconceived notion. Let me give you an example. I'm talking with some of my Baptist friends, and I like to pick on them. Not pick on them, I like to study with them. I really do. And they believe that you're saved by faith alone. And so what I did was, is I took and I asked them, I said, you've read the account of God coming to Noah in Genesis 6. They said, yes. I said, you saw that God told Noah to build the ark out of gopher wood. They said, yes. I said, well, okay, then if you understand that, thank you, brother. If you understand that, then let me ask you a question. This is a kind of a tricky question. I'm sorry. Tricky question. Just get ready for it. Tricky question. I said, do you believe that God could save Noah in an ark made out of pine? Immediately, no. I said, why not? Well, that's not what he said. I said, well, okay. That's not what he said. But don't you believe God could save Noah in an ark built out of pine? No. I said, really? No. Because that's not what he said. I said, now, have I made you angry? Are you upset with me? Am I your enemy now? Is that what's happened? They go, no, of course not. I said, okay. We know that God told him by pattern, so high, so long, so wide. We know what God told Noah to do. And every time you read that account, you're reading that by faith Noah built the ark. By faith he followed the pattern. The New Testament is filled with patterns, but brethren don't seem to want to follow the patterns. They're looking to the wisdom of men and not to the wisdom of God. And that's why we're having trouble reaching the lost, because the lost don't see the point if we don't see the point of the gospel. If we don't see the point of the Bible and how it can change people's lives, then why would they even try? Why would they care? Do you not know that God so loved the world He didn't send a committee? My Baptist friends laugh at that. But did you know that, quite frankly, isn't it wonderful that God didn't have the church build an ark? We would have all drowned, every last one of us. Well, we never got through the business meeting to get the first thing started on the ark. Well, I just don't think, what did God say? Somebody with a brain would say, well, what did God say? Well, I know He said it, but I really like this, and I like this. Brethren, the ark didn't belong to Noah, it belonged to God. God gave him a pattern, and when He built it, it wasn't Noah to take ownership of. It was God's ark. And by faith, Noah built that ark, and when he did that, he did exactly what God said to do. And you know what he did along the way of 100 years in building that ark? He preached the gospel. I don't know if they made fun of Noah. I don't know what they said, but I know one thing, that Peter calls him a preacher of righteousness. That he kept preaching to them that they need to get in the boat. Get in the boat. Just as I will tell you tonight that you need to be baptized into Christ. No, not baptized into a church, but baptized into Christ. Because Acts 2 and verse 47 says, and the Lord added to them daily those who are being saved. That means that Jesus will add you to His church. You don't add yourself. He adds you to the church because you obey Him. That's what the Bible teaches. You say you understand that Noah had to follow the example and the patterns of God? That's good. Then turn over here to Mark 16, 16. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. And you know what they said to me? Well, that's different. I said, how is that different? How is that different? Jesus said what to do. And He is the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. Hebrews 5 and verse 9. Now tell me, What is the difference? Well, I know that Noah had his sons to contend with, but it seemed like the sons did what he said because they came out with an ark. And it was done. And don't you see that the door was built according to the pattern of God? A door that by which everyone could have gone in, but they didn't. But they didn't any more than they will today. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No one comes to the Father but by me. Jesus is the door. You can't get to God without going through the door. Jesus Christ the Lord. Somebody says, well, what did Noah do that saved his household? Well, Noah walked by faith when he did the will of God. Don't you see that's true? This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. Genesis 6 and verse 9. Noah walked with God. How do I know Noah walked with God? He built the ark according to the pattern he was given. That's how I know. I know that he was upright in his generation. I know that he walked with God. Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him. So he did. Genesis 6 and verse 22. Now, are you getting the picture here? That Noah is put forth to us as an example in the New Testament of something back in Genesis the 6th chapter. You've got the Old and the New Testament coming together so you get a complete picture. That's why 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 6, if you turn over there with me, in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 6, now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. In the 11th verse of the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians, now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition. They were written for our warning, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Dare I twist the scriptures when I'm preaching the whole counsel of God? Shall I twist it and say, well, don't worry about God understanding. As long as you believe in God, you're saved. Bible doesn't teach that. I was never taught that. Yet people want to hear that message. That's the message they want. That way they're not put on the hook, as you might say. That they're not on the hook. They don't have to say anything. Everybody just do what you want to and we're all good. No, we're not all good, because Noah wouldn't have been all good, would he? If he hadn't done exactly what God said to do. But that's called faith, brethren. That's called faith. Not hard to understand. Everybody always looks at the word conclusion. Don't be fooled by that. There's a couple of more. I have just a couple of more. I don't have 45 charts. Okay, well anyway. Conclusion, if you're a Christian, I call it a New Testament Christian, baptized into Christ according to Romans 6, verses 3 through 4. What does that say? Romans 6. Turn there with me in your Bible. In Romans, the 6th chapter. Watch the 3rd and 4th verses. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, and that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. And in Galatians 3, if you'll turn there with me, please, in Galatians, the 3rd chapter, the 26th and 27th verses, which used to be used and used to be preached at gospel meetings. I don't know why it's not been preached lately, but if you're going to preach the gospel, what are you going to preach? The gospel. In Galatians 3, 26 and 27, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. I know about it says they're neither Jew nor Greek, they're neither slave nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you're Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. I read it because Noah was an heir according to the promise. He's the heir of that by faith, became an heir of righteousness. Righteousness meaning doing what is right. The next time someone tells you that you really don't have to worry about doing what is right to serve Jesus, tell them that's the devil's lie. That is not true. What a tragic, tragic thing that people don't understand the concept of this. But then again, there's much in this world. Look at James 4 and 4. How can we get through a sermon and not quote this? Adulterers and adulteresses. He's talking about spiritual adultery in the context of that scripture. Do you not know that your friendship with the world is hateful to God? It's enmity with God? For he who would make himself a friend of the world makes himself the enemy of God. And I personally don't want to have God as my enemy. I don't want to do that. And you shouldn't either. Does your law condemn the world around you? Surely what Noah was doing condemned those people because by faith he built it. By faith he did it. That's what condemned them, because by faith he did it. And they didn't have the faith to get into the ark when after he did it. Can you imagine at the last of the days, of the 7 days, when he told them to get into the ark, and the people either laughing or not even paying attention at all. And Noah knows they're going to drown. He's told them over and over again. How many times have I told people, you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're not promised tomorrow. You don't know what will happen. You need to put the Lord on in baptism for remission of sins. You need to repent. You need to turn from the kind of life you're living that's like the world. Get out, come out of the world. Come live for Jesus. Having done that, indeed, to confess it with your mouth as the Son of God and be buried in water baptism for the remission of all your sins. So, I mean, how simple is that? To be raised to walk in newness of life. To keep on keeping on. Are you building an ark with your life as a Christian? If you're a Christian walking in the light of God's word, will your actions cause people to think you're not one of them? Perhaps weird or out of step with what everyone else thinks is true? Boy, you will now. I'll guarantee you, our children that are in the middle school are being bombarded day and night, with transgender, and on it goes. The horrible things that they're having to deal with. We as Christians sit in this lovely building, which is fine, and it's good that we come together. But do you know what our children are being subjected to, brethren? Somebody says, well, we just need to take them out of the school system. You might as well take them out of the world. The Apostle Paul answered that question. Do you know it? He answered that question. Oh, yes, he did, in 1 Corinthians 5. When he said, I did not say, when I said to have no fellowship with the fornicators or the adulterers, he said, idolaters. And he said, I didn't mean those in the world, because then you have to go out of the world. And how are you going to reach the sinners, my friends, if you don't talk with them, if you don't study with them? We talk about how we love the Lord and love His Word and love His Son who died that we might all know the truth to be safe. But how much do you love it? Do you love it enough to go to somebody that you know is going to just almost spit in your face probably because you're going to take them to the Bible? Now, I'll grant you that we pray to God for opportunities of doors to be open. And sometimes those doors aren't open. But when they are, let's be ready. Let's be ready to speak the truth. Let's get ready to get on the boat. Let's get them on the boat, because they're going to perish. They're going to be lost, friend. People would rather see a sermon than hear one. You ever heard that? I've heard that many times all my life growing up. People would rather see a sermon than hear one. Well, what kind of sermon is your life preaching to the world around about you? What kind of sermon? What kind of sermon is my life preaching? So it makes me mad on the road, and I start becoming the Lord's avenger. Yeah. I tell you, my brethren are going to go to hell over driving than anything I know. They really are. Because they think, well, that doesn't count. Well, yes, it does count. It all counts. You lose your temper with your wife loses your temper with a husband. You think that doesn't matter to God? You think that you say, well, I know it matters to the wife and the husband. No, don't you know it matters to God? For marriage belongs to God. Do you not see what's happening? How the devil is using us in every way he can. And it's ugly, brethren. It's very ugly. If you were accused of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you in a court of law? You've heard this before. But think about it for a minute. Repent and obey the gospel of Christ by being baptized into him and start walking in the light of God's word. Walk in the light as he's in the light. 1 John 1 and verse 7. 1 Peter 2 and verse 21. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Are you washed in the blood? That's what we're about to sing. My question tonight is, have you been washed in the blood of Christ Jesus? We read in Romans 6, verses 3 and 4, what you do to be washed in his blood. You're baptized into Christ, and you clothe yourself with Christ, and then he adds you to his church. And then you're ready to help people and to show them the scriptures. And don't give up on them. Don't give up on them that easily. Pray for them. Keep after them. I tell you what, if my mama hadn't kept after me, I sure don't know what I turned out to be. Something ugly, I think. Don't you see, we got to keep after folk. If they have an interest in the Lord, then by all means, make the time to talk with them. Make the time to sit down with them. If you love the Lord, do you love the Lord? Are you accepting the invitation this night? Do you as a Christian need us to pray with you and for you? We stand ever ready to do that. Not because we're better, because we certainly aren't that. But we want to go to heaven when we die, and we know that the power of prayer is very strong and very great in this dark world. And this world is pretty dark, isn't it? But God's Word will overcome all of that. What's your need this night? Won't you make it known while we stand and while we sing? Won't you come?